Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by live block directors Jamie Jorza and John Rahor. We're getting ready for a Packers game this upcoming Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. But before we get to that, we have a special guest joining us to kick off the show this morning. We have on the phone right now, we have Rob Reichel, author of the new biography on head coach Mike McCarthy, titled Nobody's Underdog. Rob, how you doing this morning?
Great, Brian. How are you?
Very good. Glad to have you joining us here on the show. We've had you when your last book was out on Aaron Rodgers, so great to be talking about a new one. Let's kick it off by talking about the genesis for this biography on Mike McCarthy, the first ever written on him, to my knowledge. How did it all come about?
After Green Bay won the Super Bowl, Brian, there was a publishing company, it's called Cardinal, there in Indianapolis, and they were looking for an idea, in terms of a repeat and things like that, based off the 2011 season. They anticipated Green Bay might go back and win another Super Bowl title. But, kind of on the back burner, either way, they wanted to do a Packer-related book. So their back burner idea then was, they really were intrigued by McCarthy and his story. And like you said, there hasn't been anything done yet to this point in time on Mike McCarthy. So, after Green Bay suffered that 37-20 loss to the Giants in the NFC divisional round last year, Brian, then we kind of shifted gears and they said, let's do that McCarthy book. That's something that I think fans would want. That would be perfect to send out around the holidays and hopefully make a nice Christmas gift for a lot of people.
Tell me something, tell our viewers something they're going to learn about Mike McCarthy by reading the book that they might not otherwise know.
Maybe a few things, Brian. I think a lot of people know, obviously, about his time in Green Bay. I went and spent some time in his hometown of Greenfield, Pennsylvania, this summer. And I'll just tell you a few things I didn't know. First of all, Brian, I had no idea what a good athlete he was growing up. He was a three-sport athlete. Didn't pick up football, actually, till he was in high school because his grade school didn't offer it. His Catholic grade school was probably best, Brian, at baseball. A really good basketball player, too. He was on a basketball team that, was 39-1 one particular year as he was growing up. But football was probably about his third best sport, Brian, and he kind of blossomed there later on before he got the scholarship offer, the offer to go play at Baker, which was an NAIA school. I learned a lot about his upbringing, Brian, and just the roots of the people in his hometown. For example, for those who are familiar with the Milwaukee area, his hometown it's really similar to, let's just say, a Cudahy, a West Allis, something like that, an outside burb of Milwaukee. And, there's just a lot of community and civic pride with those people, Brian. They identify themselves first as Greenfield people, not Pittsburgh. The source of pride just based on that 8,000-person hometown is really incredible. I spent a night at the bar his father once owned. It was called Joe McCarthy's Bar and Grill back in the day. A Wisconsinite, Brian, could probably go there today and eat and drink all night for $8. It's priced at that level. But I saw the area where Mike really kind of, Mike's always been a hard worker, but his dad drove him really hard, especially in the time he had him working at that bar for him, all the way from scrubbing the toilets to, restocking the liquor and all that kind of stuff. One of his cousins in the book, Brian, told me that his dad was harder and busted on Mike more than anybody. And I think, that kind of transforms over into the hard worker and the driven kind of guy he's become. And then I take people, Brian, also through his early roots and his early years, in coaching, how he got his start at the University of Pittsburgh with Paul Hackett, how that led to the job with the Kansas City Chiefs. And he kind of cut his teeth there with guys like Joe Montana and Bono and Elvis Gerbach, eventually taking him to Green Bay and then New Orleans, San Francisco, and back to Green Bay. So it's kind of a nice, Brian, I would say, path through his entire life. I think people are going to learn a lot about Mike McCarthy, the man, as well as Mike McCarthy, the football coach.
I got a feeling that, you know, it used to be a decade or so ago that the destination for maybe Packers fans outside of Green Bay was the Broke Spoke in Kill, Mississippi. And maybe now it's going to be Joe McCarthy's bar in outside Pittsburgh. But anyway.
Yeah, for your listeners, Brian, today it's called Chasers on the Run. It's changed ownership a couple different times. So that's what it's called today. If people, you know, want to Google that or MapQuest it and eventually wind up there, they would enjoy themselves immensely. It is a throwback 1950s kind of a bar. It's very entertaining.
Perfect. I can't wait to get that out there. what I want to ask you a couple personal opinions here about Mike McCarthy. Where does he stack up to other NFL coaches, and maybe in Packers history, how will he be remembered?
It's a great question, and obviously, you know, in terms of the Packer history part of it, we've got to let his career play out, Brian, because I'll be honest, I think if it's up to Mike McCarthy, this will be his last coaching job. It's not going to be like Mike Holmgren was, who was itching after 5-6 years to go find something different. To Mike McCarthy, I think he is sitting in the king's chair of all sports right now in terms of the job he has. He doesn't want to be a GM. You know, he doesn't want to coach anywhere else. So, you know, if he can go, I mean, this is your, what, seventh for him? If he can go another seven and add to what he's already done, you know, we're certainly not going to talk about him in the Lombardi or probably Lambeau type discussion, but, you know, maybe he passes a guy like Holmgren, who I would say he's still behind a little bit because he doesn't quite have the same winning percentage. So I guess, you know, if you look at it that way right now, Brian, he's probably fourth in Packer history, you know, behind Lombardi, Lambeau, and Holmgren. Nationally, I know Sporting News just did a thing recently, Brian, where they ranked the coaches, their various opinions of coaches across the league. They put him third, behind Bill Belichick, one, and Tom Coughlin, two. And, you know, you could certainly make a case for Mike Tomlin to be in that discussion, or maybe Sean Payton before this year, and a couple other people out there. But I know Mike Shanahan's got the two Super Bowls. He's probably in the top 10 somewhere. But I certainly wouldn't argue with where Sporting News had McCarthy at number three. I think he's certainly a top five guy right now, Brian, in the league. And to a lot of people, that's been a huge surprise over the last 7 years.
We're talking to Rob Reichel, author of the new biography on Packers head coach Mike McCarthy, titled Nobody's Underdog. Rob, do you think that there is any... Does Mike McCarthy have any inkling at all to get into the front office side of things? Maybe not immediately, but, you know, you said he doesn't want to go, you know, elsewhere like Mike Holmgren, but do you think there's ever something down the road he wants to maybe get into the front office, the GM, you know, later in his career?
I'll be honest, Brian, I would be very surprised if that eventually happens. You never say never to anything. But I even know, like, with the NFL scouting combine and various things like that, you know, Ted takes the lead role with the interviews when guys come through the room, all the various scouts that are in there in the front office, people that Green Bay has, they all play a far more active role than Mike. Mike, I think, I don't want to say he's dragged along to that, but it's not his first choice of how to spend a week in February. You know, some guys love that stuff. Some guys would rather just coach. I think Mike's a guy who just wants to coach. And, you know, I'd say he's probably got another 10 years left in him. And I would think it's going to be on the football field.
Before you go, Rob, I have to ask you a question about an article appeared that in Packer Plus about JerMichael Finley and his relationship with Aaron Rodgers that you wrote. Obviously, an article that got a lot of attention, and I'm probably late to the party here, and you've maybe addressed this elsewhere, but, you know, what reaction have you gotten to that article?
Are you talking more, Brian, from, like, the Packer perspective or from a fan perspective?
Both.
You know, I think the fans weren't surprised. It just kind of continued a trend with JerMichael of probably putting his foot in his mouth a little bit too often. You know, I'll be honest with you, Brian, the day I sat down with JerMichael, I wasn't even going in that direction with things. Mm-hmm. He kind of took the interview in that direction, and obviously, you know, it's my job then to kind of follow up with various questions, and it led to a lot of those responses. So he had a message that day he wanted to get out there, and, you know, that was clearly the message. You know, I really like JerMichael as a guy. He's probably not well-trained enough coming from, you know, a small town and not getting a lot of attention much of his life. But after 5 years here in Green Bay now, Brian, he's probably got to know a little bit better of when to say what and maybe when to just not say anything at all. You know, I know initially he wasn't real happy with the article, and he confronted me on it. And the only thing I said to him, Brian, was, you know, is there one thing in that story, you know, that you didn't say, or is that inaccurate? And his only, you know, he said no, and that kind of largely ended the discussion. So, I mean, I know it caused a little bit of friction over there, and I'm sure Mike McCarthy had some strong words for JerMichael. It's not the first time, Brian. You remember, you know, in 2009 in that Arizona playoff game, JerMichael missed curfew. JerMichael said a lot of things in the summer of 2011 when he was going through his contract situation, you know, right when he was about to start his final season before becoming a free agent. So he's had a lot to say at various times, and I think the Packers would love to quiet him down. The question is, you know, does Finley ever want to be quieted down? So
I'm totally aware, you know, JerMichael Finley. It's not the first time he said something controversial. I guess the one, you know, thing I've heard is that JerMichael kind of after that, I think it was at the Detroit game that, you know, he talked about, you know, getting together with Aaron Rodgers the night before the game, going over game situations, and ends up having a good outing. You know, and that was kind of maybe glossed over, perhaps, in the article. Should that have been included, maybe?
Well, I mean, we certainly addressed the fact, Brian, in the story of what he did in the Detroit game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was certainly his best game in a while there. But keep in mind, again, in that game, he still was only targeted 3 times. And, you know, his one of his major beefs inside that story was, you know, a couple of years ago, he'd see 7, 8, 9 balls a game, and if he dropped one, nobody would really remember. Well, now he's only seeing a ball or two a game because, you know, his beef was that Cobb's taking all his passes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and now if he drops that pass, that's all anybody is talking about. I mean, your point is well taken. As a weekly magazine at Packer Plus, sometimes, you know, we struggle a little bit with the timeline of stuff because, you know, we'll get stories on a Thursday or a Friday, Brian, and they don't show up or run until the following Tuesday or Wednesday. That was the case with this Finley story where he said all that stuff on a Thursday, and then he obviously went and played well on the Sunday. But still, at the end of the day, I mean, I thought the comments were so strong, and my editors did as well, that, you know, that they kind of had to dominate the story.
Yeah, I'm there with you. Can you tell us where fans can buy this book? What is the preferred method of getting a copy of Nobody's Underdog, the new biography on Mike McCarthy?
Well, I'll tell you right away, Brian, if anybody out there wants an author-signed copy, my email is robreichel@gmail.com, and Reichel is R-E-I-S-C-H-E-L, so robreichel@gmail.com, and we can certainly get you a book turned around pretty quick where you'd easily have it in time for the holidays. It's obviously also at all your major bookstores, your Barnes & Nobles of the world. People can find it at Amazon. The publisher is Cardinal. You can find it right on their website as well. And then obviously, you know, it can be an ebook and a Kindle and all that kind of stuff as well. So there's a lot of ways you can get it. But again, if people want an author signed copy, just get a hold of me and we'll get that turned around real quick.
Well, the timing is perfect with the holidays coming up. Could be a great stocking stuffer. Rob, thank you so much for talking to us this morning about the new biography here on Mike McCarthy titled Nobody's Underdog. We appreciate it. And let's talk again the next time you write a book.
Pleasure's always mine, Brian. Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate
all
it.
Right.
Rob Reichel of the new author of the new book on the author of Mike McCarthy titled Nobody's Underdog joining us here this morning. And I probably ambushed Rob a little bit about his article on JerMichael Finley, but You know, he answered the questions. And you know what? I'm totally there with Rob on this topic, of JerMichael Finley. That article got a lot of attention because, once again, it's JerMichael Finley running his mouth a little bit. And that's not the first time that's happened. Of course, we are well aware of that as Packer fans about what JerMichael Finley says. And you know, I think with what he said, you know, some new things came out of that interview had never been said before, basically saying how he's been replaced somewhat by Randall Cobb in the Packers offense. All of a sudden, JerMichael Finley getting fewer passes, Randall Cobb getting more passes. And, you know, I can't blame the Packers for going in that direction, really. But, you know, those are really, you know, those should be out there. If JerMichael Finley said that, that should be published. And, you know, that the one complaint I had there of, JerMichael Finley talking about how he worked things out with Aaron Rodgers maybe included. It's not like the Journal Sentinel didn't include that elsewhere, you know, in their publications at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JS Online. So that was included as well. But, you know, totally interesting talk here on Mike McCarthy and getting behind the scenes. I really think that's cool as heck on the bar destination of, Joe McCarthy's bar, his father once upon a time, and now it's changed hands. But, I think that'd be really cool if Packers fans made the pilgrimage out to that bar, kind of replacing the Brosk Spoke in Kill, Mississippi, and how many people went there when Brett Favre was the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. So thanks to Rob for joining us on the show. And we got a lot to talk about here elsewhere. As the show continues here, some news that came down the pike yesterday, and the big thing, of course, is that Cedric Benson's season is now ended. Cedric Benson, the running back of the Green Bay Packers, which was originally placed on injured reserve with the designation to return. If you're not familiar, every team in the NFL, not just the Packers, every team can designate one player, and you have to choose who that player is the moment you place him in IR. That one player can return to practice after 6 weeks. They can return to game action after 8 weeks. And you know what? The Packers, it turned out where Cedric Benson's injury was, you know, not something that would just heal on its own. He needed surgery to fix it, the Lisfranc injury to his foot. I believe it's his left foot. But, it's something there they couldn't really predict. I mean, this whole injured reserve rule, I think it's great that one person can come off injured reserve. That's something that wasn't available even last year and years ago. But there is some guesswork involved, and that's kind of the downside to this new rule. It is you want to use that designation somewhat early in the season that, you know, I'm not sure you could go and place it on Brian Bulaga now and wait till he got injured in, what was it, week 10 or whatever, that Brian Bulaga got injured. And by, you know, he's got to sit out 6 weeks and then come back after eight, and maybe he would be available for just the Super Bowl or something like that. You can't wait that long to use that designation. You got to use it early in the season. So all of a sudden, a big name like Cedric Benson gets injured. Well, the Packers are going to give it a shot. They're going to give it a shot. And so it turns out it didn't work out in their favor. But It's disappointing because Cedric Benson showed, I think, that he was, you know, kind of a threat as a running back. I really thought in the limited time we saw him that he was showing more from the running back position than any Packers running back in, gosh, a long, long time, definitely since Ryan Grant's heyday, and maybe even better than that. You know, of course, Ryan Grant, you know, maybe in the last couple years you saw that he wasn't quite the same back. But, you know, of course, remember the 2 years there, Ryan Grant had over 1,200 yards rushing 2 years in a row. It was a pretty good back for a while. And I think Cedric Benson was at least that, if not a little bit better. And I would like to see what he would be able to do had he played a full season this year. Now, what is Cedric Benson's, you know, future in Green Bay? Again, DJ Protege on the live blog says Benson needs to stay. And I don't know what Cedric Benson's future is with the Packers. I would guess that he would not be with the Packers, with them long term. But, I would say there's a slim chance, you know, again, if he's willing to take a small contract, that there's not a whole lot of risk for the Packers. Maybe they do try once again, but you have to imagine the Packers going to try to go the younger route and somebody who's more healthy than Cedric Benson and perhaps, you know, even drafting a running back again. I saw a blog post from Kevin Seifert of ESPN.com, their NFC North blogger, and he kind of wrote this blog post immediately in the aftermath of the Packers making official that Cedric Benson would miss the season yesterday. It's been speculated for some while, but, you know, they made it official yesterday. And basically he says the Packers need to make running back a priority. And, you know, I to an extent, I have to disagree with that in that I think the Packers have made running back a priority, maybe not the running game a priority, but they've spent early round draft choices on running backs. Think back to, what was it, 2007, earlier than that, in which they made former Packer now, Brandon Jackson, a second-round draft choice. They made Alex Green just last year a third-round draft choice. So, you know, there haven't been first-rounders, but, you know, you got to be really darn good to be going in a first-round as a running back now. So I think the Packers have tried that. They draft James Starks in the sixth round, and, you know, of course, there's less risk there. But, you know, it's more a factor of, you know, like having to hit on one of these draft choices, you know, with Jackson, Starks, Green. You know, they haven't really found an elite guy yet. They haven't really found a good guy when other teams have, even in later rounds. So, you know, they're going to have to start hitting on the running backs in the draft. And there should be an opportunity to do that here in 2013, the next time the draft comes around. John on the live blog says, I personally would like them to see them draft two running backs in the draft, get a guy like Le'Veon Bell and a guy like Andre Ellington or something, add power and speed. Good idea, perhaps. Spending two running backs in a draft, that's a risk unless you have a lot of draft picks, though. We'll see what the Packers do. As for the season at hand, other news coming down the pike yesterday, rookie safety Jerron McMillan getting fined for his hit on Martellus Bennett. That happened yesterday, found out it was a $21,000 fine. It basically, you just got to be really careful with, heads to the helmet, things like that. You just got to lower the aiming point. The players have to learn this. You have to go low. You have to go low and tackle there and not tackle late either. So, that not huge news there. But, the Packers taking on the Vikings this weekend. And that, of course, is, you know, the big matchup here that we're talking about now. We've talked about this before. But I think the key matchup this weekend really is how the Packers stop Adrian Peterson. I think they're going to rely on the run, and especially with key players missing in the Packers front seven, it's going to be tough for the Packers to contain Adrian Peterson. obviously missing Clay Matthews. Everybody knows the great player Clay Matthews is, and you know, probably gets more attention for his pass rush than anything. But really, underrated injury here to defensive lineman C.J. Wilson. And C.J. Wilson, a guy who is doesn't get a lot of, you know, publicity, doesn't get a lot of FaceTime because he's a guy who, you know, doesn't get a lot of sacks. But he's going to be needed, you know, I think, because of what he does against the run. And the Packers could really struggle on Sunday trying to stop Adrian Peterson. But, you know, that's Sunday, and we'll see what happens then. It's 9 o'clock here, folks, and I know I normally go a little past 9 a.m., but I got to bug out today. So I'm going to wrap up Friday's episode here of Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning, folks. Make sure to come back for the game on Sunday for our live blog. Make sure for coverage all week long. Check out the Cheesehead TV blog right here at CheeseheadTV.com. On behalf of John Rahor, on behalf of Jamie Jores, I'm Brian Kirivu. We'll see you later, everyone. Enjoy the game this weekend. Go Pack, go. I leave you with a song today called Feed the Wolf by Conspirator on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone.